Hi, thanks so much for listening to Tales of Zendaya. I have some huge news, and I would like to go into it in more detail, but I don't want to keep you from this chapter. So if you could please stick around after the chapter's ended, after the music, then you can hear what the amazing news is. Okay, now enjoy chapter 12 of Tales of Zendaya. Of Zendaya, Chapter 12, Escaping Zendaya.
"It's you!" April exclaimed. "I'm sorry, I've forgotten your name."
"Indeed," the elven merchant smiled. "I see you've made some, interesting friends."
"Oh, yes, sorry, this is Bolthar, Salanth, and Phelan. You already know Willow."
Willow barked happily.
"All right, mate, how do you do?"
Bolthar strode forward and shook the elf's hand vigorously. Salanth followed and shook their hand more gently but with a firm grip.
"It is a pleasure," he said.
Phelan stared down at the merchant and nodded once. The merchant nodded back once.
"It's good to meet you all. Truth told, I wasn't expecting so many of you. You could be a bit snug on the journey."
They gestured at the wagon being loaded behind them. It was sizable, albeit full of various weapons. Bolthar tilted his head slightly.
"Looks all right to me. I reckon we can get right comfy in amongst the pole arms," he grinned.
"That's not where you'll be riding, I'm afraid," the elf said apologetically. "Here, let me show you."
They walked over to the wagon and began unhitching bits of canvas and wood surrounding one of the wheel arches. As the elf was doing so, the cheery man who delivered breakfast appeared next to Phelan.
"I believe we need to discuss coinage," he said cheerily into her ear.
"Come over here, if you please."
Phelan rolled her eyes and followed the man out of earshot of the others.
"Come on then, how much?"
she asked.
2,000 gold, the man said matter-of-factly.
"What? But that's extortionate, and we paid tribute,"
Phelan shouted.
Now, Gristleback is only charging what he believes to be a fair market price. It's not every day you have to get a princess and 3 fugitives across borders, is it?"
The smug smile remained on the man's face, and Phelan wanted nothing more than to wipe it off with her boot.
"He is most grateful for the tributes paid by your group, and has given an appropriate discount to show for it."
"That's the discounted price?"
Phelan shouted incredulously.
"Let me speak with Gristleback."
"I'm afraid he's indisposed at this very moment,"
the man grinned wider in an almost grotesque fashion.
"But I'll happily take the coin from you myself. Zyvex?"
Phelan gritted her teeth.
"Phelan Syroot,"
she murmured.
"I'll see Gristleback when I come home."
"I'm sure he eagerly awaits your return," the grinning man said. "A pleasure doing business with you, Miss Syroot."
Phelan turned away before she was forced to deck the man and returned to the group. The merchant had opened up the left side of his wagon, showing a compartment inside.
"See, I'm not used to having more than a few," they said, waving at the impressive lack of space in the compartment. "So you'll be a little bit cozy. But I'm sure you're all the best of friends, so it shan't be an issue."
Phelan lit a cigarillo and began smoking it. Bolthar was already on his 4th cigarette since stepping outside.
"That is certainly narrow."
Salanth stared at the several feet wide, barely 1 foot tall compartment in which they were expected to stay for the next few days.
"We'll be okay, won't we, Willow?"
April smiled down at the dog, who panted merrily, oblivious to what was to come.
"That's the spirit."
The merchant patted Willow on the head. "More thinking like that, and you'll be into Carrier in no time." He looked around at the wagon, which was nearly full to the brim. "Seems the folks are about done loading up. Hop in when you're ready, and I'll close the compartment behind you."
"Out of interest, should we have a need, how do we open the compartment from the inside?"
Salanth inquired nervously.
"Inside?" Oh, there's no handles on the inside, the merchant grinned. Otherwise, folk would be getting out all the time, stopping for endless bathroom breaks or snacks, or more likely getting themselves caught. No, no handles. The elf thought for a moment. Before you climb in, it's worth telling you I have one rule. No asking me if we're there yet. Bolthar raised an eyebrow. The last group to do it got dropped out the bottom halfway. Just worth remembering.
Fair enough, the dwarf replied, lighting his fifth cigarette. No getting out, no shouting at the jockey.
They stood around for a few minutes before the merchant leapt up to the jockey's podium and grabbed the reins as if to make a point.
Right, guess I'll head in first.
Bolthar threw his bag in through the narrow gap in the wagon and clambered into the hollow space, shoulders rubbing along the wood above him. Salanth placed his bag inside, pushed it along, and then climbed in after it, quite a bit more gracefully than Bolthar.
Suppose I'm next, am I?
Phelan dropped her cigarillo to the ground and crushed it with her boot before hurling her belongings into the carriage and crawling in. April could see Phelan's arm and leg occupying some of the space in the entry hall and was acutely aware this was going to be an uncomfortable journey.
How long will it take to get there, just so we know? April asked the merchant carefully.
These are sill steeds, so only a couple of days. I'd like to ride straight through if that's all right with you folk. Keep this as short as it needs to be, the elf replied. April nodded.
Okay.
She climbed in next to Phelan and called for Willow, who jumped into the gap and flumped in alongside her. They were tight as sardines in a tin, which incidentally was one of April's least favourite fish. The merchant pulled a small handle underneath his podium and the compartment closed up tight, with the white canvas back in place hiding it perfectly. There was no light in the compartment at all, not a fraction. Even for the Umbra, this was dark. The elf clicked their heels and the sill steeds took off with a jolt, cantering out of the dusty backyard of Gristleback's place. The group could hear the rattling of the weaponry above their heads. Occasionally a small bump in the road could be felt and the whole lot lifted and shook down with a metallic clatter. Beneath, the wagon positively vibrated. Each of them could feel every crevice and crease in the road. Their ears were filled with the sound of ground passing beneath them in a continuous gentle roar.
"Well, this is nice!" Bolthar shouted into the void.
April could barely hear him. Willow was pressed up against her, half laying on top of her, with her long fur feeling increasingly warm on April's arm and leg. With every turn the wagon made, their bags shifted weight and hit them in either the head or the legs. After a short while, they hit smooth road beneath, and they could hear themselves think.
"Must be on Main Street,"
Phelan remarked, appreciating the relative peace.
"Indeed, it's the only place in the city with finished road underfoot," Salanth replied.
No one spoke after that. They just lay there and enjoyed their own thoughts while they could still hear them. Sure enough, it was short-lived. Moving towards the outskirts of Zendar, the ground became rougher and rougher. After an hour or two of ear-numbing white noise, it seemed they had finally left Zendar. Each of them were fidgeting and shifting, trying to move some life back into their extremities. Except for Salanth, who remained in almost the exact same position he was in before they had left, eyes closed. April thought he looked peaceful in the dark, and so decided to mirror his position. She too closed her eyes. In what felt like a microsecond later, she awoke to the sound of Phelan's disgruntled shouting.
"Could you please just move your elbow?"
She nudged into Salanth, trying to jostle his arm, but to little avail. His wiry figure was like trying to move a dense washing line. It would snap back into place.
"My apologies, Phelan," the ranger replied.
Phelan kicked at the other side of the wagon and slammed her head into the wood beneath her. A fine layer of sweat covered April, and she felt stifled. She wished only to be asleep again.
"Oh, come on!"
Phelan shouted.
"What the bloody hell is that?" Bolthar joined in.
Salanth's eyes opened wide and stared at the wooden ceiling a mere few inches from his face. Suddenly it hit April. A dense stench made its way up her nose and seeped to her very core. She was practically choking on it.
"Willow!"
April scolded the dog who laid on top of her, grinning and panting. April couldn't be entirely sure, but Willow appeared quite proud of herself. They felt a rumble beneath as the wheels stumbled into something soft and lumpy, and the sill steeds drew to a halt. The world spun around April's head in an unpleasant mix of sensations. She could hear something scratching around her head, and then the compartment burst open, letting in fresh light and even fresher air. She took in a lungful and desperately climbed out of the hollow, practically falling to the ground. She was followed by Willow, who leapt down gracefully, and then the rest of the group came out in sequence, stretching their legs and breathing as deeply as possible. "Make the most of it. Use the privy if you need," the merchant announced.
This is the halfway point to Tacaria, and a quarterway point to where we need to be.
Which city will we be going to? Salanth asked. He appeared fresh as a morning bry-daisy, and looked markedly better than the rest of the group.
Not quite a city, but we're headed to Poltar, the elf answered. They strolled over to the Silsteeds to feed and water them.
Fantastic, Balthar replied dryly, already smoking again. If there were ever a town that hated Zendarians.
Oh, there are many more of those in Tacaria, the Findarian elf smiled. It just so happens I have business there. I can drop you off at the border if you'd prefer. You can trek your way to wherever you please.
Actually, Salanth started before he was interrupted.
Poltar is fine. We won't be trekking or camping anywhere.
Phelan butted in quickly.
I'd like to see it, April said. Balthar turned to face her.
Why, April? What's there but resentment towards us? He asked.
I want to see what my father has done. How the people feel about Zendaria, about the king, about me, April answered determinedly.
You have to understand, Princess, Salanth interjected. The people of any country that isn't Zendaria likely won't hold much affection for Zendarians.
But should it be that way, Salanth? April asked solemnly.
This stopped the ranger in his tracks, and he looked down.
No, Princess, it should not. That this tension exists goes against everything the Ranger's Council stands for, Salanth replied.
Then the only way for me to change it, if I ever become queen, is to learn about it fully and properly, and that means seeing it.
April grew more confident with every word.
Perhaps Zendaria has some hope after all,
Phelan said in a surprising moment of sincerity.
It would be good to see a queen on the throne for once.
April thought back, and Phelan was right. For the last millennia, Zendaria had been ruled by male monarchs, save for Queen Darla the Fierce, and her reign was short-lived after giving her life for Zendaria in battle. April had always looked up to her great-great-great-great-grandmother, but it had never quite occurred to her that Darla was the only queen in a long line of Quoesteeds.
You can all worry about that later,
the elven merchant interrupted and threw each of them a small package wrapped in paper. For now, focus on yourselves and making the journey as gentle as possible. That there is Findarian shortbread, so eat up hearty. Willow looked up at the merchant nervously.
Ah, don't think I'd forgotten about you, you little carnivore.
They threw some sticks of jerky at Willow, who caught them gratefully and dropped them to the floor. April unwrapped her shortbread and took a bite, thus signaling Willow to eat, and she savored it in her mouth. It was so buttery. It crumbled and fell apart, releasing flecks of sugar and salt with a deliciously creamy aftertaste.
This is just like my Senand used to make.
Phelan was lost in emotion and nostalgia as she ate.
It's a true Findarian recipe, that'd be why, the elf smiled gently. Bathroom breaks when you're done, and we'll continue on to Tacaria.
After they were done eating, the group took it in turns going to the bathroom behind a small enclosure of trees and bushes off the side of the road. Within the space of 15 minutes, they were loaded up and crammed back into the compartment beneath the weaponry in the wagon. Several hours had passed with the group in total silence. Once more they were uncomfortably cramped, sweaty, and couldn't breathe more than shallow breaths. Willow had laid across the feet of April and Phelan and was panting quickly. Balthar stared at the roof with his arms and legs crossed, while Salanth dozed next to him. The carriage rumbled to a stop in the road.
"Halt! Who goes there?"
The voice of a royal guardsman rang into the night. April thought his opening line was awfully clichéd, though she couldn't think exactly what else one would say when stopping a trader's wagon and asking who they were.
"Afternoon, gentlemen. Well, nigh evening, I suppose."
She could hear the merchant hop down off their podium with the gravel crunching beneath their feet and wander over to the guardsman. The next few segments of conversation were a low murmur which she couldn't quite make out. Three pairs of footsteps crunched their way over to where April's head was.
"And I do have some very special goods with me on this particular trip."
Her heart raced at the sound of them coming so close to her head. The scratching sound began and her entire body tensed.
"Oh, this had better be good," one of the guardsmen muttered.
"Let me see here."
The merchant's voice trailed off as the scratching came to a sudden halt.
"Ah, there we are."
April closed her eyes tight.
"See these boys? No finer pair of swords in all the realms."
She opened her eyes again as she heard the merchant pick up a pair of swords and unsheathe them. "Grandinian made, so hard and imposing. Strike quite an impression, don't they?"
"Wow, this is lovely. Feel how it swings, merchant,"
one said.
"Wait, mind out, you nearly got me then,"
the other replied.
"You're right, though. Lovely piece of gear, this."
"Only the finest,"
The merchant had an audible grin across his face.
"Well, we'd best do a quick check of the wagon anyway," the one said.
The other could still be heard swinging and swishing the sword at thin air. April's end of the wagon bent downwards as the guardsman stood on the tail of it and peered at the cargo.
"Nope, nothing here."
He then wandered around the outside, occasionally kicking bits of the wagon, including where Bolthar's head was. The dwarf looked furious, but held it in. Had the compartment been empty, it's very possible the guardsman would have heard a hollow knock and realized there was a secret hidden inside the wagon. As it was, the group was so condensed into the tiny space that when the guard kicked the wood, it sounded sturdier and denser than any wagon before it.
"Ah, you're all right. On you go."
He had finally completed the thorough border check.
"Thank you kindly, gents. Enjoy the swords, eh?"
The merchant hopped back up to the podium and clicked the silsteeds back up to pace. As they were rolling away, April could hear one of the guardsmen say,
"You know, it's awfully tall, that wagon, but it didn't have no more cargo than any other. Stupid design, eh?"
A great many hours had once again disappeared, with the group uncomfortable, stifled, and longing for a break. Any attempted conversation had been muted by the sheer lack of air to breathe. April had attempted some light aeromancy to try and fan herself, but only ended up feeling more tired. Again, the wagon rolled to a stop. April could hear voices, Tacharian voices, in a bustle outside. The familiar footsteps made their way to the compartment and released the prisoners from their stuffy wooden cell. After stretching her legs, breathing deeply, and a good dose of jumping up and down to get her blood flowing again, April looked at her surroundings. It was pitch black, as it was when they left the Umbra, but the air was fresh. A string of houses littered either side of the road with the odd farm behind, but directly in front of them stood a huge, vibrant tavern.
"We'll stay here tonight," the merchant remarked, noticing April staring at the building full of Tacharians.
"I thought we were to travel straight through the night," Salanth asked.
"It's warmer than I thought, and there are more of you than I'd anticipated. Best to keep you sane and rested, I think. We're safely across the border at this point, so no risk of getting caught by Zendarian guardsmen, at least." He nodded at April and Bolthar. "Just don't go getting yourselves recognized, eh?"
"Much as I enjoy fighting Tacharians, I'm not sure even I could take on that many," Bolthar replied.
The group grabbed their belongings and filtered through the empty tables sat outside the tavern. The building itself was white and enormous, with large windows showing a well-lit pub and its lively occupants.
"Here we go," the merchant winked, looking back at the group and opening the door.
The roar of drunken Tacharians overtook April's senses in combination with the bright lights. After a full day of being in a dark, cramped space, it was all a touch overwhelming. Surprisingly, very few patrons of the tavern actually noticed them enter. They were all busy, drinking, singing, telling stories, or playing games. The elf was at the bar, asking the landlord something.
"Ah, I miss my pub," Bolthar lamented.
"We'll get it back, Bolthar," April replied. "No one else can run the beast and bard, can they?"
"I'll bloody eviscerate them if they try," the dwarf asserted.
"I'll help,"
Phelan grinned.
"Here, girly,"
a Tacharian shouted from a nearby table.
"Come help us out. You look like the honest sort and we need a referee."
April stammered.
"Come on, it's fine. It'll only take a sec."
The Tacharian waved her over and against her instincts she followed his instruction with Willow alongside.
"Right, here's what it is. There are 16 dice on this table, eh?"
April nodded.
"Peaver here thinks I haven't noticed him switching out dice between rounds so he can win."
She looked at Paver, who had clearly had his nose broken enough times that it more closely resembled a squat mushroom.
"Grab it, this chap here," he pointed to the man sat to his left, "is too good a friend to both of us and doesn't want to get involved in a scuffle. You, on the other hand, can be an impartial eye. Sound good?"
April considered this for a moment.
I suppose. Okay," she answered.
"Great. You pop your head underneath the table and keep an eye on this cheating bastard's dice."
April again did as instructed and watched under the table at Paver's hands to check for any rogue dice. She could hear the rattle of cups and dice on the table above.
2 5s.
3 5s.
3 6s.
5 6s. You're a liar!
April raised her head and the Tacharian who called her over was pointing at Paver. Paver raised his cup from the table and sure enough there were 5 6s alongside 3 5s.
"I told you I'm not lying," Paver said. "You saw it, didn't you, girlie? This lad's a cheating so-and-so, and he's about ready for a thumping."
April tilted her head at the man.
"You thought I wouldn't notice. You swapped out two sets of dice that round, and you thought I'd be too busy watching Paver. You only had 1-6 to start with, April accused the man. Paver stood up and menacingly began cracking his knuckles.
Hey, who are yous anyway? You look familiar.
Hello again, and thank you for sticking around. I hope you enjoyed this week's chapter. Now on to the news. So, firstly, Tales of Zendaria is now on social media more or less everywhere. So we're on Facebook and we're on Twitter and all of the exciting social media e-places. So if you'd like to keep up with what's going on with the podcast, then please do head over there, give us a like and give us a follow and any of these other wonderful things that one is supposed to do. Comment on things, say hopefully nice things would be good. Unpleasant things, I mean, I'll reply to them, but I'd appreciate the nice things a bit more. Anyway, so the other piece of news is that Tales of Zendaria now officially has a Patreon, which I'm really excited about. So for those of you who don't know what a Patreon is, it's essentially the way people used to pay bards and writers and you know, artists, by giving them money directly and actually patronizing their work. So yeah, we have one of those now, which is super cool. All you need to do to find it is go to patreon.com/Tales of Zendaria. So we've got 5 levels of that, which I've carefully crafted to hopefully be worth the money that they cost. So the first tier is Willow level, which is £1 per chapter of the podcast. And it is the most common, but undoubtedly one of the most loved. This tier of the patronage will give you direct communication with me, the author, and access to a special patron-only Facebook group. That is already set up and ready to go. You get access to the patron page, blogs, and general updates. And your name will be mentioned in the podcast the week after you sign up, with my very genuine and heartfelt thanks. So the second tier is Bolthar level. You are sturdy, resolute, and I can absolutely count on you in a fight. Oh, and you know how to pull a good pint. That is for £2 per chapter of the podcast. This tier grants you a written edition of each chapter in PDF format, and a weekly behind-the-scenes vlog, as well as everything that came before. I'm yet to do my very first official vlog. I'm hoping to tackle that this weekend, which should be exciting. So tier 3 for £3 per chapter of the podcast is Salanth level. You are a fierce pyromancer, a paragon of peace and justice, and you are appreciated by all, especially by me. This will grant you access to everything that has come before, plus bonus mini chapters sent in both audio and PDF format. Now, these could be expanding on the main characters, Zendaria, or any of the surrounding countries, and are chronologically varied. Essentially, they can be about anything that is relative to the universe in which I'm working. Okay, and the next one is Phelan level for £5 per chapter of the podcast. So with this, you get everything that's come before. Plus, you will receive personal thanks and be named in every single podcast as long as you subscribe to this tier. You can influence the topics covered in the bonus mini chapters. Requests can be made via direct message to me and will be listened to. And when any new merchandise comes in, you will have one of whatever it is immediately shipped out to you. So you get everything before plus that. And finally,
we have the Princess April level for £10 per chapter of the podcast. So you get everything that's come before. Plus, I will add you as a personal friend on social media, because who wouldn't want to be friends with April? We get a monthly one-on-one video chat between just the two of us. Wine is optional, but I will most likely have some, either that or some decent scotch. And after 1 month of patronage at this tier, I will write and record you a song. Now, I'm not kidding there. My background is as a musician, and I will tailor it to your tastes as much as I can manage, and it will be 100% yours to do with as you please. You can do whatever you want with that song. And yeah, that's it. The Patreon is up and running as we speak. I'm very excited to have our very first patron, Kaz Moomin, who has come in at the Phelan level quite fantastically. So be prepared to hear the name Kaz Moomin every week from now on. Which is fantastic. And Kaz, I'm so grateful to you, honestly. It means a huge amount. We're currently looking at merchandise and things to be able to send out to the higher tier patrons. Currently looking at, you know, mugs and bottle openers and stickers and all kinds of fun things. So stuff will be sent your way as soon as possible. And the chapters are slowly going up in written PDF format. Once again, the way to access all of these wonderful, wonderful things is to go to patreon.com/Tales of Zendaria. Or if you find our Facebook page, you can access it through there. I don't know whether the link's up on Twitter yet, but it will be. So yeah, find it, have a look, have a little mooch around, see what you think. If you have any suggestions for any of the tiers, please let me know. I'm open to ideas. And otherwise, if you're in a position where you can't afford to subscribe to one of the patron tiers, then I would be most grateful if you could leave a review of the podcast. That would actually help me out quite a lot on whatever format you you happen to listen to it, so iTunes or any of that, or a review on Facebook is equally good. Thank you very much for listening, and take care, and see you next Thursday for more Tales of Zendaria.